All this morning, they say we're going to have a beautiful day, getting hot. We'll be looking for the air conditioning. It's good to see all of y'all this morning, and we are a little bit short this morning. There is some sickness. People are suffering from allergies and things like that. I guess it's the change of the weather. But anyway, it's good to see you here. And I've spoke to a lot of you, and most of you said you've had a good week. And so, praise the Lord. We want to thank Him for being so good to us. And we're just so happy you're here today. Hi, Joe. And so, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Of course, I know the news, first and foremost, is that our pastor, Herbman, his father passed away yesterday morning early. So let's keep him and his brother, sisters, all of them in their prayers, because this is a very hard time. They waited a long time. They knew it was coming. It was slow. But anyway, I pray to God that they give him peace and give him joy and happiness in his heart, because his dad was saved, born again, and he went to heaven. And so we just thank the Lord for that. And so y'all remember him in your prayer. He is here this morning. If you didn't see him, he's here. And so he'll be bringing us the 11 o'clock service this morning. Also, we have condolences for the Searcy family. Miss Christine passed away on the 11th. And then also Miss Louise Watts, she was 101. She had been over in the assisted living for a very long time. She did really well. And she went home to be with the Lord on the 11th also. So we offer our condolences to these families, and they're in our hearts and in our prayers. I did get a prayer request change. Brother Carl, we had said that he was going to have surgery on his knee the 22nd of May. That's not going to be the 22nd. They moved it up a week, and he's going to get it on the 15th. Okay? So he'll be going a week early. That's next week. Is that right, Carl? Am I telling that right? Okay. All right. So y'all remember Carl as he gets this. He's really suffered a lot with his legs, hips, and so just pray for him. Also, Miss Janet's sister is going to have some eye surgery, and she has some health problems, and we know that, you know, when you got health problems, you dread to do surgeries, because lots of things they can give you can affect different things. So y'all pray for her. Her name is, let me get my glasses. I wrote it down. Okay. Dina, is that right? That's right, Dina. Denise. I can't write either. Okay. Denise Kearney. And so she's going to have this done. Not sure. We don't have a date yet or anything like that. But y'all remember that, Denise Kearney, okay? We will put her on the list, okay? And so don't know exactly when that's got a date yet, but anyway, we'll be praying for that, okay? Anybody else have anything that I don't know about that's on your heart? Okay. All right. Brother C.L. Butler back here in the corner, and talk about C.L. for a minute. He's got a problem with his sciatica. And so his legs are going numb on him. So y'all remember CL and pray for him that God will help him with this sciatica. Okay? And we want to thank God for all of his goodness to us. Larry came in this morning, no sling. Everything going good there. Brother Joe, how's Pat doing? Not too good today. Okay. And Miss Karen is doing better, and she's back. They had a good vacation, so it's good to see you all here, and let's go to the Lord and ask him for his blessings, okay? Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your love for us, and Lord, we would have no hope. Lord, no hope at all if it wasn't for you coming, dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I just want to ask your blessings on this services today. Lord, I do pray for these prayer requests, each and every one of them, God, that's been read in your presence, Father. You knew about it before we said it. But God, we pray that you'll be with each and every one of these, Lord, that have issues and problems, Father. Be with these that have lost loved ones. God, I pray that you'll comfort their hearts. And then, Father, I pray you be with Brother Philip as he comes and ministers to us through your word. God, give him unction from heaven. Father, I pray that you'll just bless him now, give him strength. And Lord, I pray for Pastor Herb, and Lord, he's here. And Lord, I know he's had a very, very stressful week. I pray you'll give him strength and peace in his heart, dear God, knowing that his Father's with you today. Bless these others, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to do one more lesson here. I'll read the verse 5 and verse 6. One more lesson on these two verses. Unless the Lord changes my mind between now and next week. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. It is very important to have a correct understanding of the nature of God. It says in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth knoweth not, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In Hebrews 12:29, it says, for God is a consuming fire. In John 3:16, it says that God so loved the world. 20 verses later, in verse 36, it says, God's wrath abides on everyone that's outside of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says that God is not willing that any should perish. In Romans 9, verse 22, it says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known? Folks, we have to have a correct view of God. Christ is not just the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He is a king that will one day come and dip his vesture in the blood of his enemies. Revelation 19, 13 through 15. His name is called the Word of God. He is not just a Savior, he is a king. And he is not just a lamb, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. These attributes are not mutually exclusive. They are all part of a whole. We must take every one of them, amen, without demur, without complaint, without, by the way, apology. I am not going to apologize to this world because he is a righteous God that will judge this world and dip his very vesture in the blood of his enemies. I will not apologize for that. That is our God. Amen? So we must have a correct view of God. This also applies, by the way, to the Holy Spirit of God. In John 14 and verse 6, our Savior said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Do we see any comfort in our text? It says here that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. It's a warning that he can be brought to the point of incredible emotion, to the point where he is willing to resist us. We saw that term, and the definition of it is to take up arms against. That's what resist means. He becomes our enemy. So you and I have to be very careful about our understanding, not only of God's nature, but also this third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. Let us consider then today what it means to lose the blessings of the Spirit of God. Now, we can never lose the Spirit because we are sealed into the day of redemption. Amen? We are His. If He's not ours, then we are none of His, correct? Every person that's saved has the Spirit, and we are sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. But His blessings can be removed. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench His working. And as we see here and as we saw last week, we can cause Him to be our enemy. So let us look today at this whole idea of losing the blessings of the Spirit. What happens when He is removed? Look with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 6. I'll read 3 through 7 and then 11 and 12. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's kind of what we're seeing here in James 4, isn't it? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. From the time that the Spirit is withdrawn, my spirit shall not always strive with man. From the time that the Spirit was withdrawn and his active striving with the antediluvian world until the flood came was 120 years. That's what it said here. His time shall be 120 years. So he withdraws his spirit from striving with those antediluvians 120 years. What happened in that 120 years? Angels, by the way, this is Jude 1:6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Angels, fallen angels, now leave their first estate, and they come to this world and have unholy union with the daughters of men. And giants are born to them. And God says that man had corrupted his way. Now, I have read, I can't say this exclusively, but I have read where some think this was a corruption of the DNA that God had placed in man. These abominable creatures have come down and had couplings with these women, and from them a race of giants comes that cohabitated with human women. There are giants born to these unholy couplings. But these are incredible men, by the way, men of renown. I believe these men are probably where the idea of the Greek demigods and the Titans come from. I believe this is where the ideas of Atlantis drowning in the sea in this incredible society. Noah and his sons knew these people. They lived in that age of these men of renown, these giants, and probably told their descendants about that age that they had never seen, and up comes all these ideas about demigods and titans and things of that nature. They were men of renown, giants. They had corrupted their way. Not only that, verse 5, there was an explosion of wickedness. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Did you see those three modifiers? Every, only, continually. They're evil. Verse 13, the earth was filled with violence. Now, folks, all of this is because God removed his Holy Spirit and its control, his control and influence in this world. Now, when the Holy Spirit says, I'm done, and will no longer strive, folks, you and I take for granted the peace, the safety, the blessing of this world. Amen? Because God is hindered. Let's look at it in the New Testament. Turn with me if you would. By the way, after all of that, he removes his Holy Spirit, 120 years of demons coming down and cohabitating with women in fleshly form, evil explosion, violence, and then what comes after that? God says, I'm done. Judgment is what happens after that. Notice with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We're talking about the working of Satan, amen? The mystery of iniquity, it's in this world. Only he who now letteth, that word means to hinder. Sounds like what we saw in Genesis chapter 6. My spirit will not always strive, hinder, let. So God is telling us that in the future, the spirit of iniquity is working in this world, but there's somebody holding it back. He that now letteth will let. He will hinder until when? Until he is taken out of the way. Folks, that's the future for this world, just like it was the future of the antediluvians. God said, okay, that's the way you want it. I'll remove my spirit. And what happens? An explosion of satanic involvement, iniquity. Guess what happens here? Notice immediately what happens. Until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Sounds like the devil. Sounds like what happened in before the flood, amen? God removes his spirit. Unholy spirits begin to afflict this world. And as soon as he that now letteth will let is taken out of the way, the devil inhabits the man of sin. He is revealed. And we know what happens to the world then, don't we? An explosion of wickedness. There is no hindrance anymore. The devil is allowed to have it. And then what happens? And then shall that wicked be revealed. By the way, it will be so bad, they don't get 120 years. It will be so bad that the Bible says that these days will be shortened in that time, because the world would just be destroyed. He said he would shorten that before he comes back. Notice this, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Who is that? What is that strong delusion? The man of sin. He will have power. He will have signs. He will have wonders. God allows him to come and deceive the world. And then guess what happens after that? We all know, don't we? If you read Revelation chapter 14:14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. God removes his spirit. Sin has its way, the devil has his way, and then it's time for judgment. By the way, this is a general working principle of God's relationship to man, even now. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28. Oops, sorry. Oh, stop that. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And then what happens in verse 32? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God gives them up. He quits working. He removes his spirit, and sin comes on this world. And that's what will happen right before the coming of our Savior. And then judgment will come. But you and I aren't going to be here for that, amen? We're not appointed to wrath, amen? I feel sorry for this world. I do. If you and I think we are in perilous times now, folks, those will be perilous times. What happens to God's people when the working of the Spirit is withdrawn? Now, this is very important, because we're talking about this person and losing his blessings, because we've already seen that we can offend, we can quench, and we can bring him to the point where he will resist us. What does that mean? What is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence being removed? If you want to turn there, I'll read these. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says this: Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God. So where the Spirit of God is, this is an evidence of his working in our life. He gives us, liberty. And the working of the Spirit, causes us to be transformed into the very image of Christ. That is all his working. If we're gaining it all in grace, in blessing, it's all because the Spirit of God is blessing in our life. If that is removed, we lose that liberty. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What if we don't walk in the Spirit? Which means We're having fellowship with him, and he's there blessing our life. Amen? That means that we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Isaiah, verse 28, in verse 10, is a very important principle. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Folks, this is it. I'm a stammering tongue. Line upon line, truth upon truth, this is the rest, God's word. And this is the refreshing. I don't know about you, but when you hear a good message or you've heard a good lesson, are you refreshed? Amen. Amen. I am. It's a wonderful thing. We find rest to our souls in this weary world. But, verse 13, the word of the Lord was unto them. Let me stop back. Yet they would not hear. The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared. Loss of liberty, amen? What is it that snares them? The promise of the Spirit is liberty. And because these people would not listen to the Holy Spirit through the working of his word, he turned that all around and he says, I'm going to use what I intended for their blessing to bring them into a snare. The opposite of liberty is servitude, bondage, and captivity. Let us look at that. Romans 6, verse 12, I'll read down to verse 16. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye may obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you if you do those things. Amen? Depends on how you yield, right? That's not a promise for everybody. That's the promise for those that will obey these principles. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, folks, we have a choice. Who will we yield to? What will we yield to? This teaches us to yield to sin is to bring ourselves into servitude. So much so that it says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. In other words, it will absolutely take control. Proverbs 5, verse 22 says this, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held by the cords of his sin. He can't get away. Sin is a binding power. It brings us into servitude. Now, what does this tell us? That the Spirit's blessings aren't there, because he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is the Spirit of the Lord here in these people's lives if they choose to yield themselves to sin? Obviously not. They're in bondage. Sin reigns. They're servants of sin. 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. If we use the world's terms, which I hate, by the way, we would say these people are addicted. They're servants. But this is just one part of the bondage that comes upon God's people. Because he's talking to God's people in Romans 6, amen? He's not talking to those lost people out there, even though it applies to them. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll read verse 13 through 15. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Folks, these are people in our midst, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart have they exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way. Evidently, these are Christians that have made bad decisions and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So we have people in our midst who are forsaken the right way and gone astray. And what do we see? Verse 14, was it? They cannot cease from sin. They cannot cease. They are in bondage. Why? Notice with me the same verse, having eyes full of adultery. By the way, that is what we talk about, pornography. Eyes full of adultery. And these guys that yield themselves to this stuff are bound. They're in bondage, folks. They can't stop. Eyes full of adultery. As they that count, And what is it that's the problem? They have beguiling, unstable souls. That means they're not steadfast, and their heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They have surrendered their heart, their inner man, to the practice of covetousness, lust. They have given themselves over thought by thought. They're unstable souls. So not only do we have fleshly bondage, we have soul bondage. They can't quit doing it because they have let their minds and their heart, their inner man, they have exercised their inner man with covetous practices, and you can put in that anything you want. The text is talking about adulterous eyes, but you can put in there anything you want that you have exercised your heart over to have. What it's saying is unstable souls. They are not steadfast. To be steadfast in our inner man is to steadfastly use the weapons God has placed in our hands. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down. Now, this is what you and I are supposed to do as steadfast, not unstable, steadfast Christians in God's kingdom. We are to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is steadfast. If you're not doing that, you are an unstable soul to whatever degree. And if you're not careful, you'll start exercising your heart to covetous practices. You and I must be steadfast. what happens if we are not steadfast in the use of Scripture in our inner man to bring every thought. And all sin starts with thought, amen? All of it starts in the heart, in the inner man. And you and I have been given, I'm going to hold up my pad, but it's the Bible. This book to bring into captivity every thought that is wrong and against God. And if you don't do that, you're an unstable soul. And eventually, you will not be able to cease from sin. Why? Because the Spirit of God's blessings will leave you. These are choices we make with our mind and heart. Amen. And he sees it. He works on us. We talked about this. Amen. He works in our conscience. He begins to convict us. And you say, I ain't going to do that. I am going to have this thing. He's offended. Then he's grieved. Then you get to that place where he begins to resist you. And all of a sudden, you cannot cease from sin. Whatever it is, whatever, the lust for things, anger, you name it. Notice what it says of these. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they chose to exercise with covetous practice. What's the last two words of that verse? Cursed children. Now that bears some thinking, doesn't it? Do you know what it says? What God says to the young man in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 14? The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. Do you know the rest of it? He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Folks, that puts a whole new spin on these people that are living in sin. The abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Let me give you another one. Ecclesiastes 7:26. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares. Sounds like bondage to me. Whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. Amen? But the sinner shall be taken by her. Now, the sinner is somebody that doesn't please God. Amen? Folks, if we have the Spirit's blessing on our life, we will be saved from such things. He will give us liberty. He will give us grace. If a man gives himself over to these things, it's because he's made choices to, and God says, all right, go. And guess what? He's in bondage. How else can we explain people that are in our presence, in our churches, not just this one, I'm pointing to this one, but I've been in several, and they are right there with us, and then all of a sudden they are gone. And they live in sin for years. Why? They're in bondage, folks. The Spirit of God has left the blessing on their life. And guess what? Until he comes back, there's no hope for them. They cannot cease from sin. They are servants. But this isn't the worst part. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the servant of the Lord, talking about God's men, that would not be me, that would be the pastor. It used to be me, but it's not anymore. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those, now listen to this, that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God peradventure will give them repentance, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This isn't talking about lost people, folks. This is Paul writing to Timothy about God's people and dealing with people and how to help them. But notice, they are taken captive by the devil at his will. A snare. And they cannot get away. If God peradventure, do you know? Gosh, every pastor prays and says, Lord, why aren't these people growing? What's wrong? Why is there all this arguing and ugliness in their home? What is going on? Why can't they get victory in their life? It just seems like they cannot get victory. Folks, there are unstable souls that have given themselves over to a heart of practices, and God's not blessing their life. And they're in bondage. They cannot cease from sin. Now, folks, I do not believe in demon possession of God's people. But I absolutely believe that God's people can be taken captive by the devil. It says so right here in this verse, who are taken captive by him at his will. Folks, if you are having trouble, pornography, anger, lust, if it just keeps on coming and you just can't seem to get the victory, folks, you might want to check whether the Spirit might have left you, because if he is present in your life, he will give you liberty from all these things. The end of Israel as a nation was captivity and bondage, 70 long years. When the prodigal went out to live it up in sin, he ended up an abject slave to a man, and he had to do that man's bidding. Amen? Go work today. Go feed my hogs. He had lost his freedom. There are but two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And you and I are given a choice which kingdom we will live in and which master we will serve. Amen? No man can serve two masters. It is choices that we make. The only way to stay at liberty from sin, from a heart given over to covetous practices, from the devil's captivity, is to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, giving us grace day by day. And that comes by choices that we make in our life. Next week, we'll talk about how to get victory, amen? Because the next thing he's going to talk about is weeping and mourning. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And he'll lift you up. God will not leave us, but there are ways to get right with God. We'll talk about that next week. God bless you, folks. Lord, help us, please, to realize that what we have is a relationship, one that we need to nurture, to spend time on, and to realize that this great God that lives inside of us is a person, and there are rules and obligations to that relationship. God, help us not to offend and quench the working of this one upon which all of our blessings rest. God, help us, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.